From Spark and Anvil and Cardforge, this is Bluffer and Reader in Chapter 1 of the Cardforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
The Cardforge clubroom smelled faintly of cardboard and cinnamon. In the center of a small wooden table, a single card lay face up. It was the Glimmering Grimoire, its painted cover shimmering under the warm lamplight. On one side of the table sat Bluffer, holding a fan of three cards so close to their chest that the edges almost touched their nose. A tiny, unreadable smile played on their lips. Across from them sat Reader. Reader wasn't looking at the grimoire. They weren't even looking at the cards in Bluffer's hand. They were looking at Bluffer's knuckles, which were a little too white from gripping the cards so tightly. Reader leaned forward, chin resting on a cupped hand. The air was thick with silence, a silence that asked a single important question. What was in that hand? "Any day now," Reader said, their voice a low, thoughtful hum. "The Grimoire isn't going to open itself." Bluffer smiled, widened just a little. "Patience, my friend," Bluffer said, their eyes twinkling. "A good forger knows when to wait for the metal to heat up, and a good player knows when to let their opponent think." The unspoken challenge hung between them. "Go on. Guess what I'm thinking."
Bluffer's mind was a whirl of possibilities. In their hand, they held three cards: the soggy shoelace, the polished pebble, and the one that truly mattered, the rusted key. The key was the only card in this teaching deck that could unlock the Glimmering Grimoire and win the hand. The other two were completely useless. The whole point of the game was for Reader to figure out if Bluffer held the key. "If I play the pebble," Bluffer thought, "it's a safe, boring move. It doesn't say anything. Reader might think I'm just waiting, that I don't have the key at all. That's not bad. But if I play the shoelace..." Bluffer's eyes flicked up to meet Reader's calm gaze. "The soggy shoelace is so useless, so silly. It's a loud move. It shouts, 'Look at me, I'm playing a terrible card.' It's a distraction, a bit of razzle-dazzle. It might make Reader think I'm trying to trick them into believing I have nothing, which in turn might make them suspect I have everything." It was a delicious puzzle. The best move wasn't about the card itself, but about the story the card would tell. Bluffer decided on the story of misdirection. With a dramatic flourish, they plucked the soggy shoelace from their hand and slid it onto the table. "There," Bluffer declared, leaning back with an air of immense satisfaction. "Your move." Reader's eyes narrowed, not at the card, but at the performance, the flourish, the confident lean back. It was all part of the signal. The card itself, the soggy shoelace, was meaningless. It had no power, no special ability. It was game clutter. So why play it? "A shoelace," Reader murmured, tapping a finger on the table. "And a soggy one at that. Not very useful for opening a magical book." Reader considered the facts. Bluffer could have played the pebble, a quiet and neutral move. Instead, Bluffer chose the loudest, silliest card in their hand. It was like a magician, waving a bright red scarf with their left hand to keep you from seeing the coin hidden in their right. The shoelace was the red scarf. It was meant to draw all of Reader's attention. "Bluffer wants me to think about the shoelace," Reader reasoned. "They want me to ask, why would they play such a bad card? They want me to get confused. But the simplest answer is often the right one," Reader concluded. "The shoelace is a smokescreen. It's a big, floppy distraction to hide the small, important thing they're actually holding." The answer became suddenly perfectly clear.
"A very bold move," Reader said, their voice betraying no emotion. "They didn't play a card to counter the shoelace. They didn't need to. Instead, Reader reached for one of their own cards, one they had placed on the table earlier. It was the Watchful Owl. Reader gently tapped the owl card. "My owl will keep an eye on the grimoire," Reader announced softly. This action did nothing to the soggy shoelace, but it sent a clear message back to Bluffer. I'm not looking at your distraction. I'm looking at the real prize, and I know you want it. Bluffer's confident smile faltered for just a heartbeat. Theatrics hadn't worked. The big, flashy signal had been ignored. Reader hadn't taken the bait. Now the pressure was back on Bluffer. If they used the rusted key now, Reader's watchful owl would trigger a special rule, giving Reader an extra turn. Bluffer's clever plan had been seen, understood, and neatly countered, all without a single direct challenge. The game was no longer about what was hidden, but about what they both now knew.
Bluffer let out a long, slow sigh and tipped their cards over for Reader to see. There it was, the polished pebble and the rusted key. The red scarf, Reader said with a gentle smile. The soggy shoelace was too much. It made me look for what you were hiding.
I thought the spectacle might dazzle you, Bluffer admitted, shuffling the cards back into the deck. I sent too strong a signal. If I had played the quiet pebble, you might have been left wondering. Exactly, Reader agreed. Sometimes what you don't say is more important. Your loud play told me everything I needed to know. It told me you definitely had the key. They gathered the cards and began to set up the example again. So the lesson is, Bluffer said, picking up their new hand, every action sends a message, even the silly ones. Especially the silly ones, Reader corrected warmly. They both looked across the table, ready for the next puzzle. Bluffer felt the sting of being caught soften into something warmer, a proud, glad little flutter at having a friend who could read them so well. The grimoire gleamed between them, and for a quiet moment, neither of them minded who had won.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Bluffer and Reader. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.